Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being. To be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story. And tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it, the IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show.
Now that's why I'm going for my bachelor's now after 38 years old. And it is exhausting because I'm already have all these responsibilities, you know. I should have done that long time ago, but because of the cult, I stopped myself.
Well, and you're briefly doing it now too. But in a sense, and it's normal that you're grieving and it's so soon. It's kind of like ending a relationship, really. It was. But what you're doing is you actually starting over and picking up your life, yeah. And you're going to school and you're a nurse. That's that's amazing. And not even 12 months yet. That's amazing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I think we're 10, because I have that the same thing. I don't know if you do, but I think from what I got from the religion, we tend to be hard on ourselves. So you probably feeling that because
you're never good enough.
Right. But you're doing great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. And then I will hate the videos that they're coming up with now, the videos of Happy Jehovah Witness family and all that. And I'm like, I want that. I want that for me. But when you look in the real world, I don't see that. I remember having I admire this family because this is a family. He's an elder. The wife. The two daughters were regular pioneers, and the son was a Bethelite, perfect spiritual Jehovah Witness family. And I remember I went with them. I ride with them to a convention, and it was so awkward because the elder didn't speak in the whole ways. You know, I would expect more joy, right? Maybe sing song along together. Uh-huh. No, there was no conversation at all. I felt so awkward. And when I went to their house, I see how they kind of argue, you know, like normal stuff, but they make it seem in this video that doesn't happen, that they're considerate, that they're loving and pathetic, that they wouldn't argue, they will shut up and talk later. No. And this is the family that I looked up to.
Yeah, I've seen it. And that's one of many reasons I left and never looked back. But especially in my family, I saw the hypocrisy. I saw how my mom would basically, how do I call it, doing government stuff, like or whatever. And I'm not naming names, so just talking.
Yes!
And so, and I'm like,
How is
just
that?
Lie, cheat the system.
Yeah. And then how they would argue and fight. And to find out, when I left, I'm glad that I was raised with two parents and I'm grateful for that. And, but when I left, I heard 6 months later, they got separated because they couldn't wait to separate. They were just, because I was the only one left beside my older sister in the house. So they wanted for me to have a parent, two parents basically, which I'm very grateful for. That's what my sister said. But then I was like, okay, so how are you a Jehovah's Witness and you separate? If, first of all, if you're that faithful, if the religion is so great and it changes lives, two people should make it. I don't care what reasons you give. Two people should make it if that religion is so good and if you actually believe. Period. Like,
what about the three chords thing? Jehovah, the man, and the wife. Like, two people,
right?
Three people, right? Well, better than two. So where was Jehovah in all of this?
Right. Like, and I haven't been there
pray?
For 20
years. You guys
years?
Made the effort to work it out.
Exactly. I haven't been there for almost 20 years and they're still separated. So wow. If you separate for maybe 1 year, okay. 2 years, okay. 18 years? Like, really?
18!
And then you're still a Jehovah's Witness, and both of you? So how can you go preaching to other people about family unit and you cannot stand each other?
Right.
So that's
right.
One of the reasons I left. I was like, I'm done with this. But the main reason is I moved out when my mom went preaching and my dad was going to go preaching. So I was very strategized when to move, because I know if they go preaching, then I can leave and then they will be so occupied that they're not going to like do anything about it. And I never looked back. And of course, I changed my phone numbers. My mom attempted to call me every, of course, memorial. Last memorial this year, I blocked her. I keep blocking her on WhatsApp, text. And I don't want to talk to them because I respect, basically I'm forcing them to follow. If you're going to be a Jehovah's Witness, you're going to be a Jehovah's Witness. I'm worldly.
Eyes.
Yeah, I'm worldly and you should not contact me. And I understand you contacting me because you want to preach me to come back, but you're not doing it. And I'm not saying they don't love me, and I'm not saying they're not doing it because they love. It's basically, it's for their own interest.
Right. Did you get baptized?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was baptized too. I was baptized maybe 16 or 17.
So yeah, just because you got baptized, they're not supposed to talk to you at all. Like that's what
right.
hit me, because I was in and out of the organization basically all my life, really. And now I actually try to take it seriously, but it took me to get for them not to contact me at all because I made that commitment. Mm-hmm. So if you were baptized and you were kicked out, you know their commitment. They it's like they have to let Jehovah discipline you. They shouldn't be trying to get you back.
Right.
So yeah, that's
and I'm done with it. And the funny thing is I have no feeling or opinion about, oh, are they real or this and that, where would I be? I just don't give a what. I'm living my best life and I simply don't care, because yeah, like, and when and growing up. And I guess it's weird. It's not like I had doubts. Well, I guess I had doubts. But the main thing that did it for me was how I've noticed the hypocrisy in families, and especially in my family, and how people started treating you. I also started asking questions. And then, of course, they said, like, it's for apostate and don't go to this website, et cetera, et cetera. But then I was like, if I ask questions and you say that either there isn't an answer or don't ask that question.
Right.
I can't, like, my personality, I'm an artist, which means that my mind is out there. I don't even have a box. I don't even live outside of boxes. There's no box. The sky's not even the limit, because there's no limit. And I'm a versatile person. I have to ask questions. I need to know why I'm doing something. Yes. I need to have a purpose. Yes. And I was very zealous too. I preached and I did all this stuff. And my parents were definitely were jealous of my progress because I was giving privileges that my dad, who was in it forever, he's probably 80 something now, I don't even know. He wasn't giving those privileges. So there's so much there. So how did you deal with 2020 going to meetings on Zoom? Like, how did that feel? Like, the world is ending. Did it affect your faith and et cetera?
Yeah, the one thing that impacted me was when, oh my God, it's like they make it so like, oh, the end is right there. Pack your stuff, accumulate food, you know, because we're going to go hungry because of the plagues of Revelation and the apocalypse and all that is going to happen, you know. So I'm here. Oh my God, I spent like, I'm not even exaggerating, $500-$600. And stuff to survive. if I felt like, I don't know, like the Walking Dead sort of thing, like, you know, I will look at, like, no, like the, I mentioned the Walking Dead, like you had to survive and stuff like that. So right. I was like, I bought on Amazon I think it cost me like $300. It's like a book bag to survive in an emergency for 3 days for three people. Like, it's just me and my son, but I overdid it, you know, because I wanted to be prepared. I put an extra Bible in there. I put extra batteries and all those kind of stuff. And I still have it at my house up there just in case.
Well, that Bible can be toilet paper in the future.
Yeah, we was through that. Anyway, yeah. So and then they will receive. We will receive. So I don't know. The elder make it seem like the farmers over here, they were giving food to the Kingdom Hall, but I'm pretty sure we weren't the only one. But that's what he said. I'm like, there is a reason why they looked at us and blessed us with all these food boxes. You know, there has to be a reason. So that is like trying to convince us we are the true religion and we are where we're supposed to be. And Jehovah is taking care of us.
Right.
But you know what? When I got out, my blessings never stopped coming at me. So that made me think it has nothing to do with our religion. You know, it's just life. You know, I'm still being blessed with beautiful things. And I'm not even praying anymore. I'm not even reading the Bible anymore. So why I am still being blessed? That's a great question.
Exactly. So if you're being persecuted, you're the true religion because you're persecuted.
Yes.
And if you're being blessed, it's because you're true religion being blessed. They have an
because
answer
you're doing
for
great.
Any question, for anything.
Yeah, they do. They do. Like, you know, I've been like this loneliness part that I wanted a good brother and all that. Somebody, are you praying about it? And I'm like, yeah, and nothing's happening. So, yeah, I mean, I stopped doing it and I will probably think that everything, like they make it feel that if you go out, you're going to destroy your life. You're going to go low. You know what? I am not drugging. I am not smoking and I'm not sleeping with anybody, everybody that I see, you know, I still have my values, you know, okay. I am choosing to better my life, to study more and, you know, and raise my son good and all that. And I'm doing it all on my own. I don't need nobody's help, obviously, you know? So yeah, explain that to me.
Yeah, it's a way to break your spirit down so you can feel you still need them. It's like a narcissistic relationship. They break you down so you won't leave. And once you leave, they're hoping you feel so bad about yourself that you're going to come back. Because that's what my mom said. She had a tongue, like the Bible says, of a serpent. She makes sure she uses it as a dagger. She says, you're going to get HIV and die. And when we see your name, we're going to laugh at it because you're an apostate and all these things. Yeah. And
basically, you deserve it. You deserve it.
Yeah. Who's calling me every year want to talk to me and say, please talk to me, I'm your mother, and I'm doing well. No. And like you say, it's funny. Really? I still keep a lot of principles that I've learned, just because it works for me and I never care for them. I don't drink coffee. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Not that I never tried any of them, but it's not like part of my life and I don't care for it.
Right.
And I just live. I do my best to not hurt other people. And if I do hurt people like unintentionally, I'll apologize. I'll make amends. And I live a great life. And so
working
their truth of you're going to be a scum of the earth. You're going to come back with your, she was like, you're going to come back like a dog with your tail between your leg, begging. Yeah, it's in years. You can keep waiting. I don't think that's
it's like they have. Right, they have this movie that the prodigal son.
Prodigal son.
They made like a, the prodigal son. They made a movie pretty modern, you know, and so the brother that decided to live a worldly life, now you know he had sex with this girl and now he's down his knees. Jehovah, please forgive me all this humiliation, you know, and now he's going to call me back and all that and has to talk to the elders and do what he has, that humiliation, you know. So that's how it's supposed to be for all of us that leaves your organization. But no, it's not happening. I'm good. I don't even miss it. I do miss the people. Hey, don't get me wrong. They're not all bad. They are controlled.
Yeah. I miss the elder, my dad. Because he saw me twice on the street and he was very respectful. He did not ask me to come. Actually, he says, when am I gonna come back? But he was not forceful, he was respectful. I wish I could even call him dad, because my dad, I could not call him dad or father. I had to call him son. I had to call him sir or by his last
sir,
name.
Okay.
Like Mr. Da da da.
Yeah.
And I don't remember getting a hug from him after puberty. And I don't remember him consoling me when I cried. But he was my best friend still. And I wish I did not have a bad relationship with him, as in he was not abusive at all. But there were no connection. The connection that I wanted, I did not have with him. But my mom, we had a connection. We were always together. But I figured, I diagnosed her based on my researches. I think she had a narcissistic personality, because she would love bomb me and then reject me. And then most of my relationships thereafter is going for narcissist relationships. Up until last year, I discovered the pattern. Yeah, so so that's why I started with the no shame, no guilt, no judgments for myself. Okay. And that's how I can heal. And also no shame, no guilt, in judgment upon other people as well. Because shaming others and guilting them and judging them, what does that do? Any good?
Nothing. It doesn't help the person grow.
Yep.
And I'm all about growth, all about positivity. But with that mentality, no, you're not. You're not helping others grow. Because you're like, you know, oh, you did this. You're not good enough. You know, you're doing this wrong. And I'm like, and I'm here trying my best. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying my best. Can you at least see that?
Right.
Yeah. No, I never had a compliment on my parents that I'm doing my best. Never. It had to be my dad he was really expecting me to be perfect. And that is never going to happen. So what is it going to take to be in the so-called paradise that never's going to come? You know, he's I lost my grandparents already. They died faithful in their religion. My parents are faithful to that religion too, and they are growing old. They are going to die. And we're still going to be here. Yep. We're wasting our time, you know? So, now I'm forced to, like, I think it's a great thing, getting new connections, forming communities and getting families on my choosing that really supports me and are there in good and in bad. Like when I'm bad, they will comfort me. When things are going good, they celebrate me. And that's how it's supposed to be.
Yes. I'm so happy for you. Oh my goodness. Like really, how you getting support. And you said something very important, how you getting unconditional love from the outside. And when you are inside, you are not treated well at all. And then when you go outside and you see they're telling you the lie, how your life would be. And I saw the same thing.
Definitely. Yeah.
So are you getting
the freedom that I...
Go ahead. No.
Yeah. The freedom that I'm getting now that I'm out of the call is the free of guilt, because I always was ashamed of myself. I always live in a guilt trip all the time. Because I will always question myself. That's not a way to live, you know? Now I don't even have that. Now I accept that I'm imperfect, that error is human, is a normal human thing, you know? And I can get past that. Like before, if I did something wrong, oh my God, I will lose my sleep over it, you know? It wasn't until I talk to an elder and talk about it and they pray over you, give you that Holy Spirit, whatever they call on your head, like oil, whatever. You know, it wasn't until they tell me.
They look at you differently.
That too, right. Oh my gosh, she's a whore. All my confessions was because I was having sex. It's normal to fucking have sex. We got needs. But they make you feel so guilty about it. That is a deadly sin, you know, basically. So right. Yeah, I will lose sleep over it, you know, and no, now I'm good. Like if I do make an error, okay, fine. I'll get up and move on and brush it off and keep going, you know, sing a song or whatever, dance, stuff. Brush it off and move on and do the next right thing.
I'm
living my life and it's work. Support of the what?
Are you getting supports from those groups that you joined, Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yes. Yes. The Reddit one, it helped. That one really helped me a lot. And yeah, the SJW, yeah, I met some people there. They're so hilarious. Yeah, they make my life better. They do. And they're always like available, you know, that's like, I find that I'm awesome. What I was just commenting on one of the, of a comment of somebody. And I saw that right there, they liked it. And then right there, I messaged and right there, they messaged me back. Like they're so available. I did not have that in the call.
Right.
Make an appointment, or if I called, oh, they're busy. Yo, there was this one time that, oh my God. And my son can tell you about this one. My son, you know, that relation, that friendship in the congregation that never didn't happen. But this little boy, my son really got along with. And I went there. I really went unannounced, but still, you know, friendship is friendship wherever. It doesn't matter what time. Anyway, so I went there and I called. Listen, I'm here. I would like to see you. My son wants to see your son and all that. They did not bother open the door. All they said was, we can't attend you right now because we are in the middle of a family worship.
Wow.
Wow. Can you just make a pause, or because this is an emergency, like I really need you, you know, and I'm inside, you know, like you can probably extend it or cut it short or whatever. Like you guys are doing good. I need help, or my son needs help. No, that was denied because they were in the middle of a family worship. And then after that, we never got to meet again anyways.
Right.
Like they don't show that follow up. Right. But what about that follow up? And like, listen, Jasmine, I'm sorry I couldn't attend you at that moment. We were in a family worship. How can I help you? That never happened afterwards. So there was no show of interest at all. Like at least if that would have happened, I couldn't understand. But no, I never received a call of, hey, what happened? Why you just show up like that? I'm sorry I couldn't open the door. I was in the middle of this. Jehovah comes through. And I get all that. But no, I never received a call just to make sure that I was okay. So I couldn't fucking suicide over it. And they wouldn't know.
No, they don't care. Even if you commit suicide, they see it as the Satan got to you. You're still bad. Because suicide is a sin. So they don't care.
It's unforgivable. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't care about your life, period. From what I've noticed is, and I understand this psychologically. So you, everyone is in there worshiping God, and God matters the most for them. So psychologically, if someone else next to you have the same, basically practice to worship God, fine. And basically the person next to you don't matter. You only seeing that God. So if that person next to you doesn't do something right, then you can reject them real quick because they didn't matter. Is that only God that matters? Right. So when you're out of the religion and the people in the network groups, and I think so what I've noticed is how you say they're so accessible is that they keep the good principles of being brothers and sisters, and then they reject the bad part of the shunning and the shaming you. And now they have, they're compassionate and empathetic. They are there for you. They're actually doing the stuff that Jehovah's Witness are not doing or they could not do. Like, let's say if a sister or brother really wanted to talk to you because they're afraid of their livelihood, either Jehovah or even if you don't believe in it and they're in it, to keep their families, they probably feel bad, but because they want to put face, or maybe they're afraid of Armageddon, so they don't actually practice the compassion and the empathy. But once they're out, they are free to actually do it because you're another human being and they're not serving that imaginary thing. So that's what I'm thinking about. Maybe that's why they behave like that. And that's pretty.
And I got my tattoo.
Oh, nice. So why? Oh, when? So you got it recently?
Yeah, I got a tattoo.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, so tell us about your tattoo.
I showed it to my sister. She still lives with my dad, and she goes like, "Nobody could believe it because that's a sin too. You're not supposed to."
Well, it's not as big because you no longer
whatever.
And you're free. You are free because one thing.
This really shows me, reminds me that I'm free. Yes.
Yes. Because one thing that God, if the story is real, whatever, God gives you the freedom of choice, your freedom of will to live. So therefore, no man should tell you how to practice that freedom. And that's what they're doing.
Right.
They're telling you how to practice that freedom that God gave you. And God didn't even come to you and say, da, 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 da. It's man who's doing that. Yeah. So, yeah.
And about that free will thing, I'm like, how am I? So, I mean, I have free will, but I would like to make informed decisions for my life. So therefore, I need all the facts and all the information that I can get. And here you are teaching me one thing and hiding another. You know, you're teaching me what you want me to do, but you're not giving me the broader picture. You know, you're not giving me all the facts, you know. So how am I supposed to make an informed good decision if I am only limited to what you are teaching me? Like, confused. I was like, what am I supposed to believe in now? I don't know how to pray anymore. Like, who am I talking to, you know? And it doesn't even make sense to read the Bible. I don't know. So, and I was inclined to be an atheist or agnostic. See, I was an atheist because, like, where is God in all of these bad things that are happening when he's, you know, loving and, you know, and good in faith and a fair God and all merciful and all, where is he? Like I never got really, I was close to, but I wasn't really, it really didn't go through. But I mean, I can only imagine that's horrible. And that's me as an imperfect human being. Like, God is watching this constantly in a daily basis. Why he's not stopping it?
Right. And even
though he has all this power
by the people that you trusted in that religion too. It wasn't even worldly people who was doing those things to you.
Right. It's not like I exposed myself, right, to that danger. Yep. No, it was
people within.
That are supposed to protect me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can Jehovah's Witnesses do better? Like, have you thought, would there be a way for them to redeem themselves, or how can they do better, or have the ship pass sailed?
I don't know. For me, it's like they have to think for themselves. Don't just accept what they're telling you blindly. Think about it. Give it a thought, because that's all it takes. Give it a thought and do your research. Get all the facts. Don't just, like, my question was, like, if you really have the truth, for me, the truth is only one. If this uniform is black, it's black. I don't care what you say, it's black. That's a fact. So I can Google it. I can go to JW, or I can YouTube it, and it's going to be black, because black is the truth. You know? So why are you afraid of me YouTubing or Googling doubts that I have?
Exactly. Right?
If you have the truth. What's your fear?
Right. It's kind of like you're dating someone and they put a passcode on their phone, they're hiding their phone, they putting passcode on their computers, and then doing all these things. When can I use your phone to text somebody real quick? Because mine's dying. Oh no, you can't. Like why?
Yes, you're hiding something.
Yeah.
You're hiding something. There's something there that you don't want me to know, because you will lose my money.
Yes. And if actually, funny thing is, I think if people actually do their research, the religion will be gone. Like,
right.
I would say 80% gone. Because, and I didn't even, funny thing is, I didn't even go to that point of doing research. Research was not even the reason that I left. It was like, I saw some shit because I had a thinking mind. Yeah. And instead of questioning it, like arguing with them, I was like, okay, I'm 19 and a half. One thing I'm always grateful for, actually, back then I was thanking God, but now I think the universe or God, because I feel like in a Western world, or people think God as this one thing, but God can be whatever it means for you. It is not, it doesn't need to be that one entity. So I thank God for when I turned not even 18, 19, 19 and a half or 19, my mom gave me the $2,000 that I have, that I worked for from 16 on, when I did summer jobs. And then I got smart, and then I took that money and I waited for them to leave the house, and then I moved out. That I'm very grateful, and I'm thankful for God for that. Because without money, I would still be there or even be homeless. Because there was often that threat of like, you're gonna be kicked out. Because you know, another thing that did it for me, they kicked out most of my older siblings. My sister got pregnant at 16. If you're a loving being, period, loving being, and second, you are someone who's religious, that you say you praise God, you would not put your daughter who's 16 pregnant on the street. Like, I don't care what anyone says, you would not. That's
right. And your grandchild too. Yeah, she's pregnant. That's her daughter and the whatever grandchild she's carrying.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't care about the baby she's carrying either.
Yeah. So I'm like, even if she was like an apostate, the devil got to her, but she's still young. You can still, I think I was still a baby at 20, 25. It's like your mind is still young. So you can still redeem that person and help them. But kicking them out like a dog, yeah. Right. So when I had that money, enough, I left. I didn't question nothing. I was good. And I'm very glad 18 years
good
later.
For I'm you. Here.
Yeah, and I'm very glad for you too. I can see it in your face. I can feel your energy and your happiness. And of course, you. I don't know if you're still in the morning season, or maybe you, how you call it, in which part of the morning season you are. But I would say it in one thing that they teach us to be hard on ourselves. Don't be so hard on yourself. Take it day by day. And I'm here if you need to reach out to talk, definitely. And reach out to the community of the XJWs on Facebook or Reddit. And as you notice that we actually love you and we love each other because we, not only because we went through that, but we're humans and we, yeah, we have a common thing. It's like sometimes when you go through something, you understand more, kind of a thing.
Yes, so, that connection. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you. And you do look good too. You look like you well nourished, well taken care of. Your smile, it's a natural thing. Yeah, you look good.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm so grateful. I often say I am blessed because I don't get into trouble. Trouble don't come my way. And even when I live at the bare minimum, I have my health. So I'm very grateful for that, definitely. Thank you so much for the call today. I appreciate your time and I appreciate you sharing your story of bravery and you being here and you made it. You made it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, after all these years, like I cannot imagine.
And to inspire others, if I could recover from that call, anybody can.
Yes, definitely. I spoke to a gentleman who's 64, and he left at 64. And he was raised in.
Oh my God.
Imagine. So I'm thinking that I'm like, you feel like, wow.
Yeah, like I'm 38. You feel like you just threw your life away. You know, like now what? At that age, what is he going to do?
I mean,
you know,
I'm serious. I know I would be depressed and need some serious counseling.
Serious constantly.
And of course support, some community support.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, and again, if you need to talk, I'll always be there. And thank you again for your time.
Whoever listens to this and was a XJW and they're recently out, it's not going to last forever. It's just a matter of finding your purpose and a way of life, basically, you know, just do what makes you happy. I just like that saying, do more of what makes you happy. As long as it don't hurt others though, you know, just gotta keep it real.
And if you're actually happy, you don't hurt others because
there's no need because you're pleased with yourself.
Exactly. Thank you so much again, Jasmine. Yes. Have a good one.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.